Lady Shira, Shira Yichud HaMaisa, Wednesday afternoon. Second Shira, third Shira, whatever it is. Okay, Chavis Alvavas, Shira Yichud HaMaisa, and we'll go back to still in the Psicha, where he gives the table of contents. And these are the table of contents of the Prokim in Shari Yichud HaMaisa. Yichud HaMaisa means that my actions are single-minded. Single-minded goal, single-minded devotion, single-minded. I'm focused with singularity. Yichud HaMaisa, as opposed to Shari HaYichud, which is the singularity of Hashem. That's the first shara. This is Yichud HaMaisa. So he already told us that we're going to be talking about that everything we do should be for the sake of fulfilling Hashem's will. That's the overview. And that's a mouthful. And we talked a lot about the emotional health that comes from it, the psychological health that comes from it, the fact that you will have to have the best possible relationship with anyone, kol shekein with Hashem. There has to be that single-minded devotion, and to the extent that you have ulterior motives in mind, and to the extent that you have other things or people or motives vying for your attention, and it diffuses your goals, so you'll be much the poorer for it, because you'll be scattered all over the place, as we talked about. Let's go through the Prokim now. He's going to give a table of contents. We're a couple of lines into the Psicha. Which are the six Prokim of the Shar. Echol Mehem, number one, is the definition, as he does in every Shar. Because if you don't define it clearly, very structured Sefer, very structured thinking, very analytical thinking, the Chavis Halvavas, if you don't define the term, then, like, what's the point talking about it? Mahu Yichud HaMaisa LeElokim. What does it mean? And as you might expect, that perek's going to have a line and a half in it. V'hasheni b'meh yihyeh. Ah, how do you get there? V'hashlishi, the third perek. How do you get there? How do you develop it? This is a workbook, workshop. How do you get there? How do you get from here to there? It's a nice goal to have, but okay, he's going to teach us how to reach it. And that's what the Sefer is, how to reach the goals that he sets out for us. The whole Sefer. V'hashlishi be'eza maisa chayovim bo. Where is it manifested? Is it manifested when I'm eating breakfast? Is it manifested when I'm shopping? Is it only when I'm davening? Is it when I'm doing a mitzvah? Is it when I want to do an avera? What actions do I do the whole day that obligate me to focus on Hashem? And you might suspect that the answer is everyone. But actually, it's not the answer. Well, it is and it's not. So that's a, we'll see when we learn it. That's a teaser. V'haravi, the fourth, actually, he doesn't say it's a prayer, it's six inyanim. But we know that he devotes a perek to each one. V'haravi, kama mine mafsidov, very, very practical. He does this with every shahr. He devotes a perek to what will spoil it. Because you not only have to know how to get there, but you have to be alert to the dangers of what's trying. You climb a ladder, and you say, okay, this is how you climb the ladder, but you have to be alert to the dangers of what can make you slip. Right? Okay, you could slip, so this is the kind of shoes you're going to wear, and you're going to get a grip on the ladder, and that's what can spoil. You know, we said, Laman lo nigalarik, velone leid la behalah. You can work hard, and if you're not alert to the Yetzirah, you're not alert to deep-rooted motivations that you may have without realizing it. The and you don't have the koach of introspection. You don't know how to take a walk and just think about yourself and look at yourself the way others would look at you, look in a mirror, so to speak, but in a mirror of the mind and of the psyche. And sometimes you go to therapy and it helps. There's something very good to be said about therapy. You have to find the right therapist, but sometimes the person helps you dig deep into motivation and why you're doing things. It could be helpful. People used to do it by themselves, by learning Musar. So they used to treat themselves, and that's why there's different styles of Musar. So Salanta always pushed like the repetition of a phrase of Chazal to say it like a mantra, really mamish like that, and to say it over and over until it just seeps into you, and then all sorts of things start spilling out that are not in consonance with what Chazal said. Before Bissel Salanta came along, they used to be able to do it just through learning Torah, because Torah has all these things in it, and it incorporates in it. But then as the Doros, when they made the Musa movement, it was a huge battle, almost as big as Hasidim and Misnagdim. But what happened is, this is just my opinion, yeah, I really want to know what happened, you have to have a barrel of wine. What happened is that the Doros had such a drop-off, we pale in comparison to previous Doros, that the Muslim movement won. It really lost. It lost the battle and won the war. It lost the battle in the yeshivas and this, but then everything exploded in Europe, and everything dropped so precipitously that they ended up winning, even though they lost. Everybody said, well, of course, now what yeshiva doesn't have a Musa Seder? It's hard even imagining that there used to be battles, and some battles are not such nice battles about it. But anyway, the koach of introspection and to see what's spoiling your yichud hamaisa. Bahachamishi, how do you stay away from the things that would spoil your yichud hamaisa? Now, chapter 4 and 5 obviously very related, but 4 is to recognize that a red flag should go up in your head. And number 5 is, okay, what am I going to do about it? Very, very methodical. Very, very analytical. He doesn't miss a beat, the Chavis HaLvavis. The fourth thing is recognizing things that are coming to spoil it. Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe it's a craving for kavod. Maybe it's, all the things that we'll learn about. And then number 5 is, okay, how am I going to deal with this? Can't just wish them away. I can't just snap my fingers and say, shoo, go away. Stop bothering me. You Yetzahora, you. Eich ofani harchokosam min hanefesh. What are the ways that I can distance myself or from my nefesh? The things that spoil yichud hamaisa. And you know what? To what degree we can reach? That it could be possible livnei adam liyached kol ma'isa sheyasu l'shem hakel. I can chase it away, because you say, well, it won't affect me maybe when I'm doing a mitzvah, or I've worked for years and now it doesn't affect me when I'm davening, but it certainly affects me when I'm standing on the checkout line in the supermarket. You can be sure these the things in number 4 are going to come haunt me, and I'm going to lose patience and get upset and resentful, etc. And that's also, that's Hashem, right? If Hashem's determining which line you picked, so that's it. Now Hashem wants you to sit and think about Yichud HaMaisa while you, or unless your kid's taking candy from the thing they always have in the front there. The Hashishi. So that's how much you could chase away the thing spoiling it. You've developed it in chapter 2. Chapter 2 is how to get there. Chapter 4 will teach us to recognize red flags, and chapter 5 will teach us to deal with them, chase them away, get rid of them. How? The Hashishi is amazing. Hashishi is, and this is like really, Shishi is, he's going to give us techniques for controlling your thoughts. Because if you can't control your thoughts, because we're really deep inside a person. If you thought bitachon was deep in your psyche and deep about how you really feel about things, and are you really nervous, and are you really anxious, and do you really, really mean it when you say, you know, Ashrei Adam Boteach Bach, or, you know, Ashrei Kol Chosei Vach, or Yichastecho Hashem Oleinu Kashei Yuchalnu Lach, as much in the Kishkas as that is, Yichud HaMais is even deeper, because it's motivation and goals, and the way, am I doing this so that? And some of them seem very innocuous. You know, I want people to like me. What's wrong? It's such a wonderful goal. And the Yetzer will start telling you, oh, lolom ye adas odom uruv em abrios, and avos Yisrael, when it's inapplicable. And of course, people have to hold of you, or else you're going to make a chilul Hashem, and all sorts of things there. And really, we're talking very deep. And therefore, chapter 6 teaches you how to control your thoughts, how to be introspective, how to chase away improper thoughts. We would not like it if people could hear what we're thinking. Everybody should relax. Even malachim do not know what a person's thinking. Even malachim. It would be... I'm safe. Yeah, but we're not safe against Hashem. Hashem, so control your thoughts and overpower them and be able to get down deep. You need to clean a house sometimes. You need to do a Pesach cleaning once in a while. Be careful about what you think about. Don't think that thoughts are innocuous. And no one's ever going to know, by the way. This is why Yichud HaMais is so important, because there are things out there that no one will ever know. And if you haven't developed Yichud HaMais, you're not even going to care about these things. You're only going to care about what people see, and therefore how people hold of you, and what people think of you, and if it's going to get you ahead in this world, even the spiritual world. There's plenty of lack of Yichud HaMais in the spiritual world. I'm not talking about already Averos. We're talking about... He will talk about Averos at length. The musriest part of Chovos Halvavos is in Shari Yichud HaMaisa. So you say, what's he segueing into? Because that's where Averos starts from. It starts from a mitzvah that you do Shalom Lishma. Meaning you have a different master other than Hashem. You have a different goal other than Hashem. Once that's true, then, please pardon the expression, all hell can break loose. Once you're following what you want to do, it's only a skip and a hop to what you want to do and Hashem does not want you to do. If you're doing a mitzvah, so it's what we call a halbatzara. But if you're doing it for the wrong reason, you're in a very dangerous place. You're in a dangerous place. Now, I know the Gemara says, do Torah mitzvah shalom lishma, shemitoch shalom lishma bo lishma. That is true. If you have, it's certainly the better of two bad choices. That's the simple interpretation of the Gemara. If you can't, you know, if you're not holding anywhere, if you don't come to this wonderful class, so you're not holding anywhere, so at least do it shalom lishma and hope. But it really means something much deeper, that's your motivation. Your motivation is shemitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. You know you're not holding there yet. You know you're giving the tzedakah because you want the kavod. And you know that it's a stepping stone that one day I want to reach the... And I'm using it as that. I am the master of my shelo lishma. It's not my master. Shemitoch shelo lishma bo lishma is part of your kavana, part of your kivun, part of what you're doing. And that's what the Gemara means. The Gemara means do it
with the goal in mind, shemitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. That's the deeper meaning of the Gemara. Now you have turned it around. You've taken the kli of the Yetzirah and you've transformed it into a kli of Avodas Hashem, because you're using it to climb higher on the ladder. Instead of having it control you, pulling you down, I'm doing a mitzvah, comes the Yetzirah and says, oh man, you're going to get kavod. People are going to hold of you, they're going to give you the job, your kids are going to get into the school, you're going to, you know, whatever thoughts we have. You're taking those motivations and you're saying, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it without that right now at this point in my life. Let me at least get into the, you know, I'm not a masman. I'm not a masman. I keep using man examples. You have to excuse me, I'm a man. Really, it's like a different experience. I'm not a masmid. But I know that if I learn Bein Hazmanim in the Beis Medrash for an hour a day, people are going to say, wow, look at the Rav, what a masmid he is. Yeah? And I come here Pesach time and whatever. It's okay, but I'm, because maybe I'll get used to sitting in the Beis Medrash for an hour a day, and when I want to move up a step and just do it, it won't be that hard because I've gotten my body used, you know, I'm here for an hour a day. So that time is, right, I don't have to battle the nisayon of I have other things to do, and what am I sitting here for, and, you know, because I've used the shalom lishma for that action. And we'll learn about that more, actually, in the third parak. But that's what the Gemara means. But this is not, this is, the Shar is the way things ought to be. Just like Shar Bitachon was the way things ought to be. And really, and at times he talks very harshly. He doesn't deal with this Gemara at all. I don't think he brings up the Gemara in the entire Shar. He is, that's a Chavis Haldol, the style. He's a, talks about the extreme, and we talked about that, because he talks about the goal, what you're shooting for. He doesn't talk about where you're going to be holding today. He knows we're holding nowhere today. But he talks about the goal. If you water down the goal, it's like what they do now in education, what they did, they watered down the goal. And we're paying the price. Everybody's paying the price. Every school's paying the price. Every cheder's paying the price. Every chinuch is paying the price. And if there's one thing we learn from the Chayyas HaLavas, don't water down the goal. You keep the goal pure and unadulterated and pristine. And let people know. Say, I don't expect you. You say, you know, I don't expect you to get 100 on the test. I don't expect it. But that's the curriculum. That's what you're supposed to know. But then they didn't do that, right? They just watered everything down till everything became meaningless. And you have a degree from college, it's also meaningless now. It's nothing. Everything's just, it means you could read on a sixth grade level, maybe. Okay, let's start. So number six is really great. It's controlling your thoughts, being the master of your thoughts, and realize that it's important what's in your head. Because that's what this shiur is about. There's no pure example of the importance and essentiality of Chavis Halvavos than Shar Yichud HaMaisa. Because Shar Yichud HaMaisa is only in your lev. Actually, Bitachon is also. As we've said so many times when we learn Shar Bitachon, your day is the same day as a person without Bitachon. You're doing the same thing. Right? He had to devote a chapter to how do you tell the difference between a Baal Bitachon and not a Baal Bitachon. They're going through the same day, and they're doing the same things, and they're working, and they're davening, and they're making hishtadlus, and they're... So he gave, six or seven differences. How you could tell. One's happy, one's angry. One's a smiley face, and one's the other way. Okay, let's start Perek Aleph, which is a line and a half. It's the definition. Avol mahu yichud hamaisa lelokim hu hakavana. Your intention, benira, in a way that might be noticeable, ubenistar, that's more likely and more difficult, b'maisa avodas elokim lishmo. You're doing it lishmo.
You're doing Avodas Elokim, whatever it is you're doing, and you're doing it for the purpose of doing Hashem's will. Now, at its most pristine level, it's not about you at all. It's not even about your Olam Haba. It's not even about all these wonderful words that we know, I'm bonding with Hashem, and I'm Dovek Bashem, and as soon as the word I is in there, it's not pure. Right? It's all about Hashem, and this is, it's so hard, because we have a sense of identity, and we're alive, and we have egos, and I'm not talking the Gaiva egos, I'm just talking about the very fact that we exist, and okay, I have a goal, and okay, what's my goal? My goal is to get as close to Hashem as I can, and okay, that's great. It's not the ultimate. The ultimate is I want that Hashem's will be done. Baruch Hashem, 99.9% of the time, they intersect, and there's no problem. It's a question of motivation, and he wants you to be of pure thought, neki chapayim uvar levov, and it's going to make a difference. It will ultimately make a difference. What did he brought? He brought down a pasuk in Eov. I think that's very telling. In the psicha, he brought down a pasuk in Eov where Elihu says, "Al no esa pnei ish ve'al odom lo achane ki lo yodati achane." I don't even know what it means to be a faker. That's a very telling statement. Again, we're with the highest madrega now. On any lower madrega, you're going to have a nisayon, right? And things pull you in one direction, things pull you in a different direction. I have two motivating forces. Maybe it's schar va'onesh. There's a tug of war. And sometimes this side wins, and sometimes that one wins, like you're on the battlefield. If at the end of the day or at the end of a lifetime a person has reached the madrega of Yichud HaMaisa, then he could say like Elihu, like no brainer, nothing else exists, right? I'm just doing Hashem's will, like that's it. That's all that exists for me. That's all I'm doing. That's my goal. That's my single-minded goal. I have no other goal. But this includes everything, and it's hard for us to accept. And it's not nachas from children, which is like, what? It's not. It's nachas from children in as much, and look at the difference. I want nachas from children, right? And I'm like, I don't know what my children are in Kailo, and there's one kid that works. Don't tell my wife, she doesn't know yet. So now I don't have nachas from him. You see? But if nachas from children meant that my children are doing the will of Hashem, and thereby I am doing the will of Hashem, because Hashem is pleased with how he turned out, then, see, you've redefined nachas now from the perspective of Yichud HaMaisa. And look what a difference it is. And you know the problems that are out there when we try to fit the square peg into the round hole, right? And one kid's a little different, and I don't have nachas from him. Why don't you have nachas from him? It's not about you having nachas, I'm sorry to say. It's 90% of the time, my goals are Hashem's goals, right? I could reasonably say that Yichud HaMaisa, Hashem is pleased with this. This is the will of Hashem. But then you have the 10%, or maybe the 20% sometimes, that it's not like that. And Yichud HaMaisa just allows you to, like, what's the problem? No problem. And you don't have all the tension that goes in. You know, you want the kid to do this, and you want the kid to do that. With Yichud HaMaisa, your checkpoint is the will of Hashem being fulfilled. Now, sometimes it's not. And there are different issues, and you have to know how to deal with those issues. Sometimes, if a kid goes off the derech, as we call it, so then quite obviously that's not Hashem's will, right? So then
it becomes a different issue of how to deal with the situation, and then there's different techniques and different shittos and different ways of dealing with it, and that's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about Yichal HaMaisa, when you're able to that it's all about Hashem's will, you know. And the truth is that what I just said is not true. I just realized I didn't say something true, because if you decide to deal with it by acceptance and love and etc. 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 all those catchwords that are out there. So you have to be convinced that that's Hashem's will. You see, I misspoke. You have to be able to look in a mirror or get up at 3 a.m. when there's no one around and say, I'm not doing this because it's the easier thing to do. And I'm not doing it because or else, I don't know what, or else there's going to be fights. It has to boil down to, yes, a trusted mechanech told me to do this, and therefore I'm doing it, and therefore it's Hashem's will. I feel like I'm doing Hashem's will. I'm not smart enough, maybe in this case, to figure out what Hashem's will is. Most of the nisyonos in life, most, Baruch Hashem, to the people I'm speaking to here, excluding myself, are not about what's right and what's wrong, really, but it's about what does Hashem want from me. So sometimes the answer is, I don't know, you know, this is past, you know, this is not, I can't figure it out. So you go to a mechanech, and the mechanech tells you, but you have to be, your motivation should be, because this is what giving nachas ruach to Hashem, this is a fulfillment of Hashem's will. And if it might be a fulfillment of Hashem's will to put the matter on hold for a couple of years and, you know, re-accepting and all those magic terms. But the end of the day is that should be your benchmark. Your benchmark is Yichud HaMaisa. See, that's what it trains us to do. Not to have false goals, wrong goals, egotistic goals, hippie goals. The goal is Yichud HaMaisa. That's what it teaches us. La'agia el ritzono bilavad mi bilti ratzon habruim. It's not about anything, you know. So a child, most normal children, I say we see a mirror image of this with a child. Parents are Hashem. Parents are. That's why we have hukshu kvodom lekavod hamakom. We have kibud. We have yira. That is like the greatest example of what Hashem is and how Hashem loves us and cares about us and how we feel towards Hashem as parents. I mean, no question about that. That's what the Gemara means, shlosha shutfin ba'odom, and that's why huksha kvodom lekavod hamakom, if you know what that means. Gemara compares it. It's right up there, and that's why it's on the right side of the loop, on the luchos, that side, not that side. It's Hashem, you know, it's Hashem prime, you know, it's Hashem prime. Parents are Hashem prime. And you see it, because you see children have a natural instinct to want to please their parents. They do it. It's like psychology 101. Like, they want their parents to be proud of them, and they want their parents to approve of what they do. And the kids with the problems, a lot, like, I don't want to make clothing, but a lot of problems come from that the parents make very clear that they don't approve of their children. And that hurts a child so deeply. Parents should be aware of this. Even a rebellious kid, okay, there's always exceptions, but what hurts more than a patch, and this is, what hurts more than a patch is that my parent doesn't approve of me. And then they segue into it, my parent doesn't love me. Which is not true. That's a huge leap. From my parent doesn't approve of what I'm doing, to doesn't approve of me, to doesn't love me, to doesn't care about me. See, but that happens. That line happens if we don't stop it. If we don't make clear that we don't approve of the actions, then you could stop it in the bud. But my point was to talk about Hashem.
And we have to develop what is Hashem made, just like we talked about at the end of Shaar Bitachon, that probably, that Hashem made romantic love as a way of trying to have some image of what Avos Hashem is supposed to be. And if you don't believe me, look at the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, the last perek, where he describes Avos Hashem in erotic terms. So Hashem made parents, and that's the Upspiegelungsart, that's the miniature Hashem. And he made it instinctive, just like the man and woman, he made it instinctive. So don't say, I don't know, I never heard of such a thing, I don't know what you're talking about. You do know what I'm talking about. You see it in a man and a woman, you know what I'm talking about. You see it with a kid and his parents, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, I want approval. Work on wanting that approval of Hashem. Now, if you really want to do Yichud HaMaisa, see, you're not at the apex, because you want the parents' approval as a fulfillment of your own psychological needs. With Hashem, it should not be that way. This is what's so tough about it. I mean, you get there, but then you've got to go a step beyond. And I want approval from Hashem because that's what Hashem wants. Not because that fulfills my psychological need to be approved of by Hashem. It will intersect. The Tanya talks about how ironically, and this is already like heavy stuff, that the most fulfillment a person will find is in bittul to Hashem. So ironically, the more you lose yourself to Hashem, the more fulfillment you will have. But if your purpose is fulfillment, that's a block. See, it's hard for us to accept, because we're like, oh, come on, man. If I go through my life and I just do things for personal fulfillment in ruchnius, don't tell me I'm a bad boy. Like, please. I struggled my whole life. Again, you can't water down the goal. It's not good to water down the goal. We're learning Chavis Halvavos. The goal is the goal. It's like every pitcher has to walk out there and he wants to pitch a no-hitter. That's why he wants to pitch a no-hitter. Yes, Tebow, not Tebow, I don't care. Right, if he doesn't have a goal to pitch a no-hitter, then I don't know what will happen. Right? If he goes down there, I'll give up a couple. You see, I'm still baseball. That's how old I am. I never figured out football or basketball. They go too fast, too much too fast. I need something slow. Baseball's nice and slow. It goes into extra innings. No one's looking at the clock. It's a whole different game. And we don't like the designated hitter rule. Ruin the game. That's where I'm up. I'm still holding there. Yeah, what's the designated hitter rule? I'll tell you.
How do we know when we perform a certain mitzvah if we're really doing it because it's Hashem's will or because it's some other reason?
Well, that's a good question. The answer is either you develop the koach of introspection, meaning you develop the ability of thinking about yourself, or you don't. That's the only answer. Nowadays I could give another answer. If you really want to. How do you know? Sometimes you could have a good friend tell you. You have to expose yourself. You have to expose yourself. You have to. I'm talking to women. I can't use the phrase I want to use. You have to get naked. Really, you have to expose yourself. You have to like really get deep down into your neshama, into your soul. And think, and people don't do that now because of the silly iPods, and nobody wants to think anymore. They don't think. I said last night to the men, I said a Sunday night to the women, I'm on a rampage about this. Even listening to shiurim has a downside. I didn't say it's bad to do, it's wonderful to do, but it has a downside that when you're listening to the shiurim many times you're not thinking. Right now, I don't know who. If you're thinking, you're not listening. And if you're listening, you're not thinking. Right?
You're thinking,
Yeah, so that's not thinking, that's absorbing. When I say thinking, I mean think about it. That's what I mean. Thinking about it. Okay, it's wonderful if you want. Anyway, no. I want to answer your question. You either develop the ability to do it, or sometimes, if you're doing everything right and life is wrong, that's a good hint that something's wrong. If I say I'm doing the mitzvahs and I'm keeping them, and so why don't I have any friends, and why do I keep failing, and why is my life like so down? Everything I learned tells me I should be chipper and happy, and Hashem should be smiling at me. There might be a reason for that. There might be a reason for that. So you then have to examine your actions. One thing I promise you, that if a person can't, then they're not held responsible for it. That is our mantra. That's like Hashem's not out there to trick us. He's not out there to fool us. He's not out there to play gotcha. Gotcha. He's not out there. He wants us to grow, and he wants us to be good people and to think about these things. And then if you can't, and if your life is a struggle to just keep the mitzvahs and not sink below the red line of mitzvahs, so that's fine. That's fine. But this class is learning Shai Yichud HaMaisa, which is looking for more. It is theoretically possible that a person could say, this is not for me, Yichud HaMaisa. I'm struggling to tread water and keep my head above the Shulchan Aruch red line. This is so past my experience. It's like, forget about it. And it might be. It still will be helpful, I feel, because sometimes, and this is where the thoughts of a person come in, we sink below the red line and we have no defenses. And that's because if we do things for the wrong reasons, right? And so we do mitzvahs and we daven and we're good and we keep Shabbos and everything. If we do it for the wrong reasons, then one day, this is what the Chavis Alvavus wants to warn us about. One day a Nisayon's going to come and we don't have defenses because we've been feeding the wrong Aver. Although in Chitzonius we've been doing everything right, but in Pnimius we've been feeding our ego. And then when there's push comes to shove and you have to choose between your ego that wants to do something wrong and listening to Hashem, you don't have the muscle. You don't have the muscle. So even if you're not going to get to the Madrega that the Chazal Vavos would like you to get to, it's still worthwhile for that. Just be aware of it and try, and you'll be that much more, and a person will be that much more fortified when the ego is in contradistinction to the Ratzon Hashem. Not just a Maila, but they clash. Yeah, you want to...
My question is, you're reaching for this goal that you're even... the reason why you're doing it is because it's Hashem's Ratzon. But I thought that I was taught that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need... I mean, we have to do the mitzvahs because we're Jews and this is our job and this is what we have to do. But Hashem doesn't really need our mitzvahs and he doesn't need our tefillot and he doesn't need anything because he's everything. So how do you...
Right, that's the beauty of it.
So how do you get to...
Because Hashem is not this selfish monarch that wants everything for himself. We do everything because it's his ratzon, because that's the nature of Hashem, and everything is only meaningful in terms of his ratzon. The beauty and what we should thank Hashem every day for is that the whole ball of wax, everything, including doing things for his will, is for our sake. He doesn't need it.
So how do you get past the our sake?
That's the $1 million question. It's like, I'll tell you, it says in a Mishnah in Avos, which, it says, don't look for kavod, run away from kavod. If you look for kavod, kavod's going to run away from you. If you run away from kavod, don't worry, kavod will follow. Now, once they said that,
So everybody's running away from kavod, but they're like, they want to make sure that the kavod's right. And they want to say, hey, where's the kavod? I don't see it. And why? Because you're not really running away from kavod. If you turn your head to make sure it's coming after you, then you're not really running away from kavod. So that's what you have to do. Why Chazal said it, I don't know. I do know, they wanted to make it very, very, very hard. They wanted to make sure you're really running away from kavod. So you have to run away from kavod, even though in the same sentence they said, don't worry, the kavod's going to come. And I think it's an assignment that you shouldn't turn your head. I'm convinced. Otherwise, why'd you say that for? I'm convinced they said it so you should have the nesoyon of not turning your head when you're turning. They want to make sure that you're really running away from kavod. It doesn't work if you're not really running away. So they say that, and now you have the nesoyon of not turning your head, which is, wow, it's a tremendous nesoyon. And the same here. You have to do it because it's the will of Hashem, with the knowledge that Hashem doesn't need it. He's doing it for your sake. But your motivation, at a pristine level, if you could manage to say, I am doing it so that I should get Olam Haba, but I only want to get Olam Haba because Hashem wants me to have Olam Haba, that's beautiful, that's great. You've reached the highest Madrega, if you mean it. If you manage to say, and that's Hashem's will, that I should get Olam Haba, because it is. So, if you really mean that, then you could comfortably have as a goal to get Olam Haba, as long as that's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is Hashem's will. But we know Hashem wants me to be happy. Hashem wants me to have good things. Hashem wants me to get Olam Haba. And all these things, but when does push come to shove? When you read the story about the Gra with the Esrog, and he didn't have an Esrog, and they said, if you sell me your Chelek and Olam Haba, I'll give you the Esrog, right? And he said, no brainer, here's my Chelek and Olam Haba, give me the Esrog. Now that happens to one person out of a million once in a lifetime, that story. But you're only able to do that if it was, I want Olam Haba because Hashem wants me to have Olam Haba, not I want Olam Haba because I want Olam Haba. So, I don't know if I've answered your questions, but I may believe it. Okay. Yeah.
You get angry if you're trying to do something, Hashem Shemayim, and somehow it gets interrupted. You know, that like would be a good indication to know.
Yeah, we're going to learn about it. We haven't started. We haven't started. I'll tell you a much easier way. If someone else has a different idea of what this Hashem is, right? And all of a sudden they're on your turf, and all of a sudden go look what's going on, right? So we're going to learn about all these things in Mitzvah Hashem. That is going to be in chapter 4, recognizing what pulls us away from Yichud HaMaisa, and chapter 5 is how to deal with it. Okay, Mitzvah Hashem, one of these